If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hey guys, it's Mind Pump.
Yeah.
Look, in this episode, we talk all about fitness, health, nutrition, and we also have a lot of fun. Here's what we talked about in the first 38 minutes, which is our intro fun time. We talk about the drinks, Rain and Bang. Gosh, that sounds like something terrible.
Like a porn or something. Yeah.
We give our opinions on those drinks and how terrible we think they are. Adam brought up an Oregon middle school dress code issue. Apparently, some kids got had some problems with this dress code, said that telling them that they couldn't wear Daisy Dukes and midriff-bearing shirts was sexist. Justin brought up this interesting article about how trees use the mushrooms underneath them to communicate to their saplings. That's so awesome. I brought up studies on chaga, the mushroom. It's an adaptogenic mushroom, anti-cancer, but there's also some studies that suggest it may have some potent anti-inflammatory effects for the gut. So, and I actually read some people's anecdotes that said that they used chaga as part of their IBS and gut issue protocols, and it worked really well for them. Now, my favorite maker of chaga mushroom supplements and other mushroom supplements is Four Sigmatic. There is no competition. They are the best in the industry when it comes to mushrooms, and we have a discount for you. Go to Four Sigmatic, that's foursigmatic.com/mindpump, and use the code mindpump at checkout for 15% off. Then I talked about the new vegan chicken burger at KFC. If you're a vegan and you hate killing animals, I don't know if it's a good idea to give KFC your money.
I mean, it's a great environment to be in, right?
Doesn't make sense. Yeah. Then we talked about George Lucas' Star Wars plan that never happened, thank God.
Oh, my God.
And also, Mind Pump Live is on sale now. You can come meet us in San Francisco or Denver. We're going to be in San Francisco July 12th. Denver is sold out. Sorry, that one's sold out. That was July 20th. The next one is July 26th. In Seattle. Make sure you sign up at mindpumplive.com. Come meet us, shake our hands, give Adam a little pat in the booty. He likes that one.
Whoa.
Then we talk about fitness stuff.
Good game.
Here's the first question. How do you know if you're experiencing too much inflammation? What does that look like? We talk all about inflammation. We talk about compounds that help reduce inflammation naturally, like turmeric, like the Organifi Gold Juice. Organifi makes organic supplements. Both their turmeric and gold juice are our favorite anti-inflammatory supplements. Oh, and we also have a discount for you. If you go to Organifi.com/mindpump and use the code mindpump, you'll get 20% off anything in their store. The next question, which of these routines is best for building strength? Working up to your heavy weight, pyramiding your sets, or starting at your heaviest weight and just sticking there? So we give our opinions on all those different methods. Next question, any advice for moms worried about getting sagging tummy skin? Is there anything that you can do to prevent sagging skin? Believe it or not, there are a few things you can do to prevent, and maybe there's a couple things you can do to help treat sagging skin. And the next question, we talk all about how we plan on evolving the podcast in the future. Also, this month, MAPS Strong, what's turning out to be one of our more popular programs, phenomenal for muscle building and metabolism boosting. So if you want to boost your metabolism to get leaner and stay leaner, or if you just like to be strong, obviously we named the program MAPS Strong. This is the program for you. It's 50% off. You have 3 days left. That's it, 72 hours, and this promotion is over. To get the 50% off, you got to go to MAPSstrong.com, MAPSstrong.com. And use the code STRONG50, STRONG50, no space, for the discount.
It's like the douche horn.
Yeah. That's the douche sound.
It's like the douche call. It's like
douches unite.
Yeah, and then they all of a sudden start walking in with their shades indoors.
Where's my Red Bull vodka?
Where's the energy drinks, man?
Speaking of energy drinks, what was the thing you were bringing up, Sal, about the Bang and the Rain or whatever like that?
Oh, someone's just, I'm getting asked about them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, what do you think about them and are they good?
They're everywhere now.
Yeah, Rain was the answer to that, right? Because Bang became so popular.
Yeah, what? So didn't Rain? I think
Rain's Monster.
I brought it up way back when Rain first came out. They actually
didn't they get sued or something?
Yeah, they got in trouble because they made it look just like
identical.
Yeah, to the like all the flavors, like, the coloring, everything was like the same.
Yeah, it was like a fuck you.
Do you remember? Do you remember when we went? I think it was you and I, Sal, that when we went to the LA convention, we spoke down there a couple of years ago, and the Bang setup they had there. Oh, do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was like a.
I've seen that.
They have like a stage.
They have like stripper poles.
Yes, and they have like all the lights going.
It's so ridiculous.
And you're like, what?
You're at a fitness convention.
What am I watching?
It's a winning formula if you think about it. Yeah. You have.
It's crazy.
They created something that
still works.
Super, super tasty. So that's got its own addictive properties.
Cotton candy.
Then they're like, can we throw something in here that's got
sour
like
apple.
Physiological addictive properties?
Boobies.
Caffeine. They throw caffeine in there.
I thought you were going to say
caffeine
boobies.
Caffeine and boobies.
You open the can.
It's a winning formula.
Boobs come out. Whoa.
I got
a $1 million idea, guys.
It's just hilarious how we work, right? Like what the hell does Bang energy drinks have to do with girls and mini
it's
skirts?
The lowest common, like, dude, that's just like the lowest fruit, you know? Like, you can always go there.
I mean,
we're
I appreciate
like animals
it.
At the end of the day. Like, no, it's just we can't get past
well, no, think about this. Break it down for a second. Think about it. Super tasty drink, check. Like that, you don't need to do anything with super. If something just tastes good, people are going to buy it.
Ooh, I like it.
Then they throw in caffeine, which caffeine makes you feel good. It's hype. It makes you hyper, and it's physiologically.
And they give you some weird justification, like it's going to give you like some kind of muscle gain.
Yes, and then on top of it, they're like, "But what if people feel bad for drinking this? Let's sprinkle in some BCAAs." Yeah.
You're doing good for your body, bro.
Yeah.
Have you? Now I haven't even looked. Like I haven't cared to look. But I feel like if people keep asking us, I feel like we should do this. Maybe Doug can pull up the label so I could read like. How is the dosage even like legit? I
mean, the caffeine dosage is
hilarious.
No, no, not the of course caffeine. Everyone,
it's like 500 milligrams of BCAAs. Nothing.
Is it?
Yeah, it's crap.
It's nothing.
Nah. Does it have creatine?
Maybe less
too.
Yeah, there's a creatine BCAAs. One. There's a. They're all different. So each one of them.
You know, creatine in liquid. Creatine that comes in liquid form.
Yeah.
Usually not a good idea. Creatine monohydrate, not a good idea to leave in liquid form for a long time. So let's use a different. Form, I think, and I know the only one that's really studied, that's got all the studies, is creatine monohydrate. So I don't ever really trust a drink,
right,
that has creatine in it. Anyway,
just dissolve after a while, or is it become toxic?
I think part of it can. I think it could start to convert to a form that's not really good for your body.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, yeah. So you're not supposed to if you mix creatine and water, you're not supposed to leave it overnight and then drink it. You got to take it right away.
Oh, that's interesting. Uh-huh. So not only are we putting like low dosage in there, but in addition to that, it's sitting in water is probably not ideal.
Yeah, and it's probably a different form of creatine, or probably there's no creatine in there whatsoever. I'm sure nobody's checking.
Yeah.
But I don't know. When I look at these drinks, at some point you think to myself like, you know, at some point you got to be an adult and not drink something that tastes like a birthday cake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, cotton candy. That's why I laughed so hard when you were talking about the stack the other day, because I'm just like, this is getting so ridiculous, dude. Like, what other flavors can we come up with?
Dude, you mean Homeboys that I read the other day?
Yeah,
oh
yeah. That stack was just like
sour
insane.
Apple, BCAA, cotton candy pre-workout.
Yeah, red licorice. Yeah. You imagine
Gobstopper.
You imagine going back to like Arnold's day, like the 70s when bodybuilders were fucking hardcore, and you're just like, hey guys, I got this new supplement. And they're like, cool.
Yeah.
What does it taste like? Does it taste like
it's
steak?
It's like Peachios. Like, yeah. No, you know the candy?
Yeah, no, it doesn't taste like steak. Does it taste like beer? No, no, no. It's not beer either. It tastes like birthday cake. Like, fuck this shit.
No way. They're like, crap. I love birthday cake. That's exactly what.
Slap you.
That's why it sells, bro. That's what who doesn't love birthday cake?
Damn it.
Everybody loves birthday cake.
You're right.
If I had less integrity, I swear to God, dude, I could fucking. Give me $100,000, I can make a drink that'll sell out, no problem. I can put it. The formula is so easy.
Yeah.
It really is. Super tasty, a lot of caffeine, and then make some like health claim in it so people don't feel so bad for drinking it.
Yeah.
Done.
Why isn't someone...
I like adding aid at the end so you could do like Coke-aid.
What?
You know what I mean? Like it's aiding you in your stimulus.
Actually, some of these pre-workouts, they don't even pretend. They like name them shit like meth.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? Like, you know,
yeah, that's hardcore.
Yeah. I'm not even lying. I think those are the names of actual pre-workouts.
Wow. Are they?
Yes.
That's bold.
That was a popular thing. I remember when I was buying a lot of supplements, and the supplement magazines, they would have, or in the magazines, they had the supplement advertising, and it would be like a, you know, a bottle, and on the bottle like a syringe, and it would be like testosterone one.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like,
whoa, this
it had, like, the molecules on it and everything like that.
This is borderline illegal.
I mean, it worked though. Because I totally remember being a kid.
You want that shit to be illegal when you're a kid. Isn't you think
that,
it works.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah, I bought this
one. So smart. The psychology behind it is so smart.
One of the first times I got ripped off ever, I was 15 or 16, and I, you know, of course I read all the bodybuilding magazines, and in the back they would have like these small ads for supplements. And so up until this point, the supplements that I had bought were the big ads. Like you're flipping through the page and you're looking at, oh, this is, you know, what's his name's chest routine. And then in the middle of it, there'd be a big page and it would say like Muscle Tech something or Weed or whatever, right? But in the back of the magazine were the small sketchy looking ads.
Yeah.
And as I got a little older, so now I'm like 16, I'm starting to think, because I've already tried the other shit. I've tried the Mega Mass. I've tried the whatever. I'm like, wait a minute. The shit in the back, that's the stuff that you need to get.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember going through and there was this stuff called Muscle Mix, but the way they spelled it was kind of funny. And it was like an ampule.
Yeah.
So it looked like a glass ampule and it was kind of half full.
I remember these.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
I do. And then there were quotes in there like, I gained 30 pounds in 3 months. And, you know, I had stretch marks so
warning,
bad I had to
warning.
Stop. Yeah, all these warnings and shit, not to be taken. Like, if you don't want crazy muscle gain, don't take this. You know, stupid shit. And I remember reading it being like, this is the real deal.
What do you think? Okay, so
I bought it.
The stack that I read yesterday, what do you think? What jumps out as the most stupid and ridiculous to you? Like when you see
fat burners.
Right? The fat burners?
Testosterone booster and fat. Only
natural testosterone. That's what I think.
Oh, that too.
Fat burners is up there too. That's a good close second. But I think somebody who's taking fucking grams of anabolics.
You're already on steroids?
Yeah, why? Like,
what the fuck is that?
It's nil at that point. Yeah.
It's like you got a bonfire going and you light a match to throw it in there.
That's exactly what the great analogy right there. Yeah. Fucking roaring fire. Let me throw this match in there real quick.
It's going to do something. This does nothing.
Adds to the mix.
Anyway. Yeah, but those drinks are Bang is fucking everywhere.
No. Oh, yeah, no. Yeah,
it's
they're hardcore.
It's at the gas station now.
I know.
You know?
Yeah, well, I think that's why. I mean, that's why you see Monster, really. They're like, we got to get in on this game and show them how the big dogs do it. You know? And then you have Red Bull, I'm sure, is coming up with one.
Now, Bang is owned by VPX.
VPX.
Mm-hmm. And VPX was Redline. Did Redline drop off completely and then this is what kind of took over?
No, Redline still exists.
So how funny is that? Just like a bunch of rebranding.
Yeah,
that's totally. That's what's really popular in the supplement space too. That I think a lot of people aren't savvy to, is a lot of these companies would run something and, you know, pixie dust it with something that's, you know, borderline illegal,
mm-hmm.
and that actually did make you feel some shit, right? And then you get caught with it, and it's a slap on the wrist because FDA doesn't regulate it, and then you just turn around and you same company, same everything, but you just completely change the logo, change the name, change everything. It's just a rebrand.
You see all the Shreds guys are still out there trying to like rebrand and create new stuff.
Pull that guy up again. You know what? I talked shit about him like about a year ago.
Who's this, Arvin?
He's like getting in the weed business now.
No, I was thinking of Joey Schwoles.
Joey Schwoles.
I love Arvin's like dye job on his beard.
So natural.
Yeah, it's like looks like he drew it in with the marker,
like a Sharpie.
He's like, I don't.
He's like, yeah, I gotta get rid of these grays with my Sharpie.
I'm so successful. I don't look like a creep at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Pull up Rise Supplements, RYSE. Are they doing
anything?
Why do they
fucking spell everything
weird? I
feel
like we talked about this, but yeah.
We did. We talked about it about a year ago, and I'm curious to see
where they are now.
Remember they signed
Conor McGregor.
Yes, Conor McGregor, and I know that Joey Swole was behind it. I don't know if it got any legs or what. Did you see if you can find anything on them, Doug, if they're actually.
And it's always spelled weird.
Yeah, it's RYSE. For Rise. Rise up. Rise.
It's like a boner supplement.
And shine.
Well, what it is, if you look at like the way they've stacked everything, you flip the labels around, it's literally almost identical to Shreds, just a rebrand. Look,
of course.
Another rebrand. It's all black label. Now it's white when they first started. White wasn't tough enough.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's what you do if everybody figures out that your supplements are, you know, worthless or whatever, you just reband.
Yeah. And just do the same hustle.
Wow. Look at that, huh? Well, whatever. Yeah. Here's the deal. I as much as these guys annoy the hell
shame
out of me.
Shame on you.
The people are buying it. So, right. I mean, there's an easy way to fix this. Stop buying shit.
Yeah.
You know, stop buying garbage.
So I have a controversial thing to talk about. I wanted you guys' opinion as fathers, right? Especially Sal, you have the daughter, right? So in Oregon, Jackie shared over an article that I was reading this morning. And it was on these middle school girls in Oregon that were, they went to like the board meeting and everything, and they're trying to stand up for this dress code thing and saying that it's sexist and it's body shaming to not allow them to wear these, you know, kind of Daisy Duke shorts and the tube tops.
That's
and the
sexist.
Halter tops. Well, they're saying it's sexist because they don't see any dress code being enforced in guys, and it's only enforced on the girls, and it's body shaming to not allow them to express themselves and do that. And so what do you guys think about dress codes for girls like that? And do you think it's fair? Do you think it's not fair? And do you think it's sexist? What are you guys?
I think one of the best things a school can do is have the minimum a dress code, but to even better, a uniform. That's my opinion. Absolutely. Kids worry so much about how they look, the clothes they wear, who's wearing what. You take that out of the equation where everybody just shows up in uniforms, I think it gets rid of a lot of headache for the parents and for the kids. I remember as a kid, a lot of kids thought a lot about what they were wearing, who's wearing what, and get rid of it. Here, you guys all wear uniforms. I think it's a good idea. But as far as dress codes are concerned, that's good too. You have to have some kind of a code. That's weird that they would say it's sexist. Are the boys wearing Daisy Dukes?
Yeah. Well, that would be, they might these days.
Yeah, I would get that. If the boys were wearing Daisy Dukes and tube tops and the girls couldn't, then I could understand. But you know, I don't think anybody can wear those clothes
right
in there.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think that's true. But so do you think that they shouldn't be able to wear clothes like that?
No, I think the school has every right to say that, and the parents have every right to send their kids to that school or not. All I know is this: when I was between the ages of 13 to 18, even what girls wore, I'm just speaking from a male's perspective, could be extremely distracting, extremely. And it didn't have to be Daisy Dukes in a tube top. It could be a fucking t-shirt that's not an extra large. It's just slightly tight. You know what I mean? It could be anything. That can definitely be distracting.
Or a whale tail.
Yeah, and what guys wear can be distracting too. I'm pretty sure sagging your pants below your butt in some schools is banned, right? Where your underwears are showing. That was a big thing when we were kids. Is that still a thing?
No, it's still a thing. Yeah, no, it's still. Mm-hmm. They just sag their skinny jeans now, which is just
it's so weird.
It looks like a penguin. It's the funniest thing ever.
It doesn't make
any sense. I know we looked ridiculous, and I know I'm sure our parents and the generation after that or before them even were probably thought we were ridiculous with our baggy jeans being sagged, but the skinny jeans being sagged is just the funniest thing ever to me. Yeah. I mean, heaven forbid you got to run somewhere.
That's
you
know,
someone try and chase you down, you got to be fucking skinny jeans sagged. You ain't getting away.
I have seen some cases with school with where schools have a dress code that's weird. Like there was one school, I don't remember where, sent this kid home because he wore a shirt with an American flag on it. And he wore it on Cinco de Mayo, and they said that he couldn't wear it on that day because he'd be inciting problems.
Oh,
he got sent home. And that to me makes no sense. No, it's a flag. That makes no sense to me. But as far as the skinny, like the...
Yeah, your kids go to a private school that has a dress code,
they
right?
They wear a uniform.
Or a uniform. They now, Justin, uniform. Yours, no.
No. Yeah, huh. It's public school, so...
Now, have either of you had to, like, even outside of school, like, are you at that point yet with your daughter where you've had to, whoa, wait a second.
She's still too young, but it'll come.
It's coming, though, right of now, course. Right? How old is she right now?
9.
Yeah, probably 12, 13, right?
That's when that starts to kick in.
Right, where they decide the shorts get shorter and shorter.
Yep.
Have you thought about how that is going to go down for you? Like the
I know exactly how it's going to go down. Oh, she's not going to wear them.
I know. I think you said
that's how it's going down.
No, I think you had the best. I think I heard you before off air. We were talking about this.
Oh, my strategy.
Yes.
I like
your strategy.
You
gotta
wear.
Oh, dude, it's brilliant. Yeah. I saw online some dad did this because there was this girl that was posting pictures of herself on Instagram, and she was kind of trying to be sexy or whatever. And so the dad couldn't get her to stop. So what he did was he put the exact same outfit on and would pose on social media as well. so she stopped.
Imagine like your daughter.
That dad is a genius.
Not listening.
I would be that guy.
Coming down the stairs with her booty shorts on and you keep telling
her. Pick her up from school.
Yeah, you pick her up at school and he's just Daisy Dukes as a dad. Oh my God, dude.
I'm embarrassed. I know how I feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Take that shit off.
Yeah, now Doug, Doug is there because Brianna's Doug. At that age, right? She's.
Absolutely.
How's that going for you?
Not going well at all.
It just has like beads of sweat.
Have you had to have this conversation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, shit.
And here's the thing.
she's not buying her clothes, right?
Her mom is.
Her mom is buying her clothes.
Oh, well, that's the problem.
And I've had to have that conversation.
Oh, God. That
because the crop tops, that's the problem right now, the crop tops, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's my battle I'm dealing with right at the moment.
So, I mean, how do you have that? How does that come? Does it? Do you not even have it with her and you're trying to have it with her mom, or do you try?
I have it with both of them. It's not going well. It's not going well at all.
You're outnumbered.
I'm totally outnumbered.
You're losing.
Sometimes you just have to cut your losses.
Yeah.
But I continue to persevere and try to make subtle changes along the way.
Well, you know, get you some crop tops.
There's nothing.
I know. I love that idea. I'm thinking about actually doing
it. Pick her up from school in it.
Yeah.
Same exact one she's wearing. Unicorn on it and everything.
I got to get ripped first.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No, it's better you're not.
No, just let it hang out.
No, there's nothing inherently wrong about the clothes themselves. It just has to, it depends on where you're at when you wear them. Like if you go to Europe, for example, I remember this as a kid going to Italy. The kids dressed way more skimpy there than they do over here. And it just wasn't a big deal. They're just, Europeans tend to be more, loose about certain, the commercials will show women topless on commercials, for example, of TV. But so over there, it's different, but it depends on where you're at, right? Like if you're in Saudi Arabia, you don't want your kid walking around a tube top. Yeah. It'd be a big problem.
You can't even show your ankles.
Yeah. So it depends on the context. That's the conversation I have with my daughter when it's going to come. Is I'm explaining to her, look, you're at this you're at this age, you're wearing these kind of clothes in this area for this kind of context, you'd be calling attention to yourself. In ways you might not want that kind of attention.
I think that's the way to say it. I think someone in the school or a teacher, I think made the mistake of saying that you're asking for it by wearing something like that.
I
think that's what triggered.
Wrong.
Right.
Yeah, that's wrong. Not... You're asking for it implies that the kid is consciously asking for that kind of bad attention.
Right. I think they went further even to say too that it encourages rape culture by wearing clothes.
Yeah, no,
like,
that's terrible.
By wearing clothes like that. So I think that's where it got all the uproar and the girls trying to defend dressing like that.
No, it's a terrible attitude. The real attitude, because most kids that do that, some of them know what they're doing, I'm sure. Some of them know the attention they're getting. But some of them are just innocent. They think it's cute, and oh my God, I look good, and
it's
whatever.
It's probably more about fitting in for them.
And they get a little bit of attention from like the boy that they like, which is innocent, and that's what we all wanted, right? We all wanted attention from the opposite sex at that age. But they're innocent to not know that they're getting attention from creeps and fucking adults and weird dudes or whatever on the street. That to them is, they might think like, what are you talking about? Because their interaction with older men is their dad, their uncles, and if they're good people, they're not thinking to themselves, I'm going to go to a store and some creep is going to look at me kind of weird.
Yeah, no, their intention's probably just innocent. It's
totally.
Just like, as a adult, you see like more of these like potential predators out there. And so you're trying to shield, in the best way you can. God bless you. I'm so glad I don't have to deal with this.
Oh, man.
And I'm glad I'm having a boy first, bro. Glad I'm having a boy
first. The worst I'm going to have is like, you know, they're going to dye their hair and have a mohawk or whatever. My youngest already had a mohawk and he started that whole thing. In his class, and then he got a couple of his friends like wanted to do it, and then he's like, oh, well, I guess I'm not gonna do it anymore, you know. And so he's just kind of like doing stuff. So I could see him like going to school some crazy outfit or whatever, but I'm like, well,
I have this inner like old school Sicilian dad in me that just every once in a while wants to come out, and I don't know how I'm gonna react when my daughter's 14, 15, we're at the mall, and I see some fucking creep looking at her for longer than a second.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? I know what it's going to invoke in me.
The claws will definitely be sharp.
I'm going to have to really, really focus on my meditation.
That's why I'm curious to see how you handle that conversation as Doug's having to go through it. I mean, that must be challenging for Doug when your daughter's getting at that age where she's changing from a little girl to starting to become a woman, young woman. And wanting to dress kind of sexy and provocative.
You got it.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't imagine how challenging that is going out with her and going to the mall or going out to eat. And
there is something inherently different about when you're a dad with your daughter versus when you're a dad with your son. And this, whatever, it might be controversial, but this is true. There's this natural, instinctual kind of feeling that you have, like thinking about my son going out on dates, I'll still be worried about certain things. I want to make sure that they're, you know, that he's smart, that he treats her well, that he's not, you know, things you worry about with boys are like drinking and driving and fighting and that kind of stuff. you know, statistically speaking. But I can tell I'll feel a little different when my daughter goes out with the boy at 16, 17 years old. I'm just going to feel more protective, maybe because I'll feel like she's more vulnerable, or I don't know. I know
a lot of households that actually have different standards and rules for the boy and girl. Yeah, yeah. And I know that's controversial for a lot of people, but some are just bottom line, like, hey, you're... son was allowed to go out and go do those things before you were, for just because I know that I've raised him well, and I know that he's going to behave himself and be a good young man, and so I can trust that. I don't know who you're going out with. I trust you as my daughter, but I don't trust a 16 or a 17 year old boy.
Yeah, and guys can be fucking, you know, you guys know, we know how guys can be. So I get that. I think it's more of an individual, on an individual basis. I think sometimes parents get caught up in the, yeah, I have to treat my kids exactly the same, which doesn't make any sense. So the boy girl thing, sure, that's a difference, but there's bigger differences that are more individual. Like Justin, you have two boys.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be different. That's just of course they're going to be different. Yeah. So you can't possibly, one of your sons may be ready to go off on a road trip with his friends at 18, 17, 19, and the other one may not be at that age. At that age, he might be like, hey, my brother could do it, and you'd be like, well, he was ready at that age, you're not.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I mean, I definitely want to keep a pulse of like who he's hanging out with, like both of them, and like who their friend, their circle is, like their parents, like what their parents' values consist of. Like, I want to know all that shit, you know, the whole time through. And it's like, the less I keep that pulse, like the more I'll feel like, yeah, I'll get that anxiety and worry.
Now, are you both, how do you guys feel about your kids' friends right now?
Oh, my kids have really good friends right now.
You like them?
Yeah, I like the parents. I like the kids. That's one of the reasons why I chose the school that they went to. I saw the kind of people that were going there and the kind of values that they had. And I've been nothing but impressed. Just good people, good kids, respectful. Parents seem to be very nice and involved. So far, I haven't seen a kid where I'm a little bit like, I'm sure it'll happen at some point where there's that kid where you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm
I don't know about this kid.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those in the mix.
Do you?
I got my eye on one or two of them. You know?
Oh, really?
But like, they've already kind of filtered them out. It's just like they just kind of get lumped in with the mix of everybody else. And like, they all hang out and they're buds and they've played sports or whatever it is. But then you're just like, oh, no, that kid's a little shady, you know? And you kind of find out more about the background of the household and like what's going on there. And it's like, I don't know. So yeah, it's there. Like, I'm paying attention, but I'm not like regulating really hard. I'm just like watching patterns right now.
Dude, I forgot all about the influence that kids have on each other when I first had my kids.
Sure.
But then as they started getting older, I'm like, oh yeah. Because this is a hard pill to swallow for some parents. At some point, the largest influence over your kids is their friends.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're less
of an
influence.
You can't do anything about that either.
Yeah.
So
it becomes a kind of a big deal. Like,
do they have enough friends that they hang out with and that you can tell different behaviors in them based off of what group of friends or what friend they were with that last weekend? Can you see that? Is there a difference?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, my kids right now hang out with the kids that they hang out with are very similar to them. Mm. So my son and his friends, they're all into the same stuff. They're all very similar. So I haven't seen a difference yet, you know, between. But I mean, he's just about to go into high school. He's gonna make new friends because a lot of his friends aren't going to the same school as him. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's when this stuff really starts to ramp up.
Yeah,
we invite our favorites over a lot, you know, and have them hang out more. That's our strategy.
You don't invite the other kids?
Yeah, we invite the ones me and Courtney like the most.
Yeah. Dude, what you were telling me earlier, Justin, about how trees are using mushrooms to communicate to their saplings.
Yes, the fungus. So like the mycelium covering over the forest floor. They actually use is this like crazy, like almost like the internet, this worldwide web of communication. They could also send nutrients to like they have saplings that close by. They can actually like allocate resources, you know, from the soil and everything else, and like through the mycelium actually deliver it and also help out other trees. And on the flip side to that, they can actually like deliver like toxic material towards plants and things in the area that they don't want around.
What?
I knew Avatar was accurate.
Yeah.
Right. Zahelu.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it was, I was tripping out on that because I mean, there's just so much there. Like, they're, I
think makes sense.
Yeah, it's like a life form at the end of the day. I mean, they're trying to survive just like us, and there's benefit. They're trying to help each other out, which I thought was interesting. Like, there's actually like a, they're finding like, you know, parents in a sense, like helping out like their kids, you know, on that level.
So they're literally, you have a tree, it makes saplings, right, on the forest floor, kind of far away or whatever. And it's literally using the mushrooms on the floor of the, on the forest floor as a internet to communicate. This sapling needs more nutrients. This one needs more nutrients. Communicate with other trees. There's danger. I read about that once.
Yep.
That they could actually, if another tree's getting cut down or on fire, that they'll get the information and then they'll start producing more of these compounds that protect them.
Yeah, or insects or like, you know, like other mammals coming through that are eating a lot of the plants. Like, they'll actually, like, down, you know, yards away, they'll start to turn their pH, or they turn into a more toxic chemical that they release, so that way when they eat it, it's like they stop eating.
That is so weird. So scientists actually were able to eavesdrop on the mycelium to hear what the trees were saying, and they were like, fuck vegans. We hate vegans. They keep eating us.
Like, we're conscious too, man. Like,
this would actually be a really fun conversation with Taro. We gotta have him back on, because he would probably geek out on this.
Oh, well, I mean, he did bring some of this stuff up.
He did bring a
in our episode. Well, speaking of mushrooms and Taro, I just read about chaga. So chaga is one of the, like, they call it like the king mushroom because of its broad effects on animals and on humans. In Chinese medicine, chaga is used as an anti-cancer nutrient or food or herb, if you will. A mushroom, I guess, would be the more accurate way to put it. And the anti-cancer effects are pretty wild if you read the studies. But some other studies that I read that I wasn't familiar with. So I know chaga's got anti-inflammatory effects, but in particular, it seems to have anti-inflammatory effects for the cells of the gut.
Oh,
so some people, I was reading in some forums that I belong to, some people were using chaga as part of their, you know, irritable bowel syndrome or gut issue type protocols. And they were saying that the chaga, in particular, when they're having a flare up, would help them out. So when their gut was kind of going off and they were having kind of this rampant inflammation of the gut, they would start supplementing with chaga, and they found that it helped. Now, the only study that I found that was done on chaga and gut health or gut cell with inflammation was in vitro. So it was not a human study. But the anecdotes that I'm reading online seem to support that it does help with inflammatory type gut issues, which is really cool, right?
Now, you use the four sigmatic chaga more than anybody else. How often are you probably including it into your
The one that I use most is cordyceps. I use that pre-workout.
Every workout?
No. If I'm going to go to the gym and do a high volume, high stamina workout, and especially if I plan on being in the sauna afterwards, so it's just going to be a long, grueling type of workout, then I'll take cordyceps about an hour before. And the reason is because I notice a difference. I notice I have more. It's not stimulating. It's not like caffeine. It's almost like
just more stamina. You said,
I don't. What's the word? I don't overheat as easily. The same thing with a sauna. Like, I'll take it, go in the sauna, and I'll just chill in there. I can't wait to run into that fucking dude again at Club Sport. I haven't seen him in a while because I go at night, and I used to go in the morning. But if I find that old Chinese man that could basically. The guy stayed in the
He's never left, dude.
I have no idea how committed he did
is. Yeah, so he's still there.
I'm getting back into my training, dude. The listeners who haven't heard that episode, I don't remember what episode it was, but basically I got out-steamed by this 70-something, 80-something-year-old Chinese man who just very peacefully kicked my ass in the steam room.
So you have IBS flare-ups every now and then still, right?
Yeah, so sometimes my gut issues will start to come. I'm still sensitive to certain things. And usually I can identify what caused it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just lack of sleep. Sometimes it's stress. I don't know.
So now how do you cope with that? I know that CBD had a major impact with you with that as well. And have you tried like to tease out the chaga to help kind of remedy that?
I just started reading about this with chaga. So now I'm going to start using chaga for that. The other mushrooms that I use from Four Sigmatic are reishi, which I use sometimes at night to help me relax. And then the lion's mane, occasionally I'll use that with caffeine.
So there's nothing that you use like every single day. It's you kind of use as needed.
The most, the one I use the most is cordyceps. And then second, I would say is probably lion's mane. I love that with caffeine, but nothing daily, nothing every single day. That's not to say you can't take it every single day, but I find supplements have a better effect when I take them. Even caffeine. I only use caffeine for my three hardest workouts during the week. I just feel it better that way. If I use it every day, it starts to lose its effect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with that.
Anyway, speaking of plants, do you guys know that there's some KFCs in England that are going to be making vegan chicken sandwiches?
Dude, what is the point? What's the point of that?
How do you do that? How do you do that?
If you're a vegan, do you like really like want to go into a facility like that?
Dude, that's what I was just going to say. So it's a trial. And it's going to be a vegan chicken burger.
Oh, dude, this is going to be a massive flop.
Yeah, I don't know why they call it chicken, because it's not. It's obviously super highly processed vegetable, you know, and plant and grain products seasoned and added chemicals to make it taste like a burger, like chicken or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was thinking what you're thinking, Justin. If you're a vegan, if you're a hardcore vegan and you're against, like, you don't want people to kill animals, why are you giving KFC your money?
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem kind of fucked up?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's the same thing with the burger that they did that's so popular right now. The ultimate burger that's going on, or what's it called? The impossible burger that's going on.
I don't think real vegans, maybe I shouldn't use that term, hardcore vegans are going to those places. I think they're just trying to capitalize on the fad.
Yeah, it's trendy.
Yeah, the trend of it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like you're going, it's almost like I'm against guns, so I'm going to go buy, I'm going to go give money to Smith & Wesson for, I don't know.
I'm going to go get a water gun.
Pay Smith & Wesson.
Yeah, but like, yeah, at a facility where it's like an armory, you know?
Yeah.
You go to armory for a little squirt gun.
Yeah. Who kills more chickens than KFC?
Yeah. I was going to make like an abortion reference.
Foster Farms.
I'll keep it to myself.
Good. I'm glad you didn't,
yeah,
Justin.
Yeah, I know. That would have gone on dark path.
But thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah.
Justin.
Yeah.
Did you? I think I know something you don't know about Star Wars.
What?
Yeah, might.
That's not possible.
Hold on.
I know he might know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. Like that's going to be insulting a little.
So,
bit.
So I read that George Lucas talked about what he did have planned for Star Wars 7 through 9. Not that he's going to do it, but what he had planned.
Well, he can't. I mean, it's already happening.
Right? Did you know what he was going to do?
I mean, he wanted it to be way more based off the Skywalker family.
So I don't know if this is true. This is what I read. He wanted it to occur on the molecular level where there were like...
I'm not even believing that.
That's what the article said.
No.
Yes. That these people...
Like more of the midichlorian references in there?
Yeah, that they live and they use the Force and they feed the Force and they operate on that level. And thank God it didn't happen. That would have sucked ass.
What?
That's what it said, dude.
Really?
Yes.
Are you pulling his leg right now?
No. Dude, I can't find the article, damn it. I can't find it now. I'm going to look for it.
How dare you?
Yeah. It's. Oh, wait. Hold on. No, that's not it.
It's invalid now. So.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I got it here. No. So it says, here, I'll pull it up for you. It might be not a real article. It says, George Lucas reveals his plan for Star Wars 7 through 9, and it was awful. And this was published in ARS Technica, which is a gaming and culture and gaming and entertainment publication.
Sure. Legit.
And he wanted the next three Star Wars films were going to get into a microbiotic world. There's this world of creatures that operate differently than we do. I call them the Wills. W-H-I-L.
Yeah, he would have jumped the shark hardcore if it would have gone that direction.
And the Wills are the ones who actually control the universe. They feed off the Force. Yeah, that's what it says, dude.
What the fuck?
He might have lost.
You know why? He just wanted to explain, like, on an even deeper level, like this fabric that held up the entire storyline.
Example: when you do too much acid,
it was too much.
There's a fine line, like a little bit creative, too much, stupid.
He's like, one hit of acid got me to invent Star Wars. What will four hits do?
I mean, he's the first to use CGI, and so it's like, well, I have to use this in everything. You know, he just went crazy with it.
Yeah. So, you're still a huge fan of his, though, right?
Oh, yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where I'm so baffled that story came to him, and then he was able to like articulate it and put it out there. Everything worked perfectly. The music, you know, the overall story arch, like all the characters, the humor, the dialogue, like everything just nailed out of the park, and then it just got away from him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, your life will be complete when we meet him. We'll officially meet it.
It really will.
Mind Pump will officially made it when we meet George Lucas, Warren Buffett, and who was your guy?
My guy?
Jordan Peterson.
Jordan, I would love to meet
that's
him.
The, that's the
I'm
triple.
Not a super,
you're probably the most likely to get yours fulfilled.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see about
George
that.
George Lucas is a little elusive.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, well, what are you going to do?
How old is he?
He's got to be up there in like the late 60s, I would imagine.
Oh, I thought he was older 70. Than that. Yeah, I thought he was older than that.
Where were we where we were talking to someone and we, you know, Justin was like, yeah, he was vaguely interested in the conversation, but not super into it. And then the person's like, oh, I work for Star Wars. And then...
Yeah, that was at our last event.
Yeah, and then Justin's like, bing, hello. Like, I'm your new best friend.
Oh, he's 70. He's 75, bro.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was way off. Yeah. Yeah, he's getting up there.
And how old's Warren Buffett? I'm just trying to figure out a timeline here, how much time we have.
I know.
I'm trying to figure out how quick Mind Pump's going to
go. You'd rather meet Warren Buffett over...
I got like 10 years.
Over who?
Over what's his name? Fuck, billionaire. He's on Shark Tank.
Oh, Mark Cuban?
Mark Cuban. Yeah.
That's close, dude. Mark Cuban would be up there for a top.
I feel like you would like Mark Cuban more than 88-year-old Warren Buffett.
Well, so I think...
From a cool factor.
Right, just, right. Yeah. So I think I would like Mark Cuban more. I think I would... I'm more enthralled by Warren Buffett. Mm-hmm. So Warren Buffett would be more of an...
he's
way,
very fascinating.
Like the same thing with George... I would think with Justin, with George Lucas, I don't know how much he would be...
Well, okay, so like that would be, for me, J.J. Abrams and George Lucas. So I would be just as happy with J.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm. You know who's someone else I would fucking love, absolutely love to meet? Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think we're all...
Well, that'll happen.
Well, I mean...
I think we'll all hit it off.
From a in common perspective, the guy loves working out, jiu-jitsu... Obviously, podcasting, like
it'd be
all
a
my
great
favorite
conversation.
Things. Yeah, it's like fitness and nutrition, and he likes talking about the same stuff. So I feel like we'd be like buddies.
Yeah, no, and plus I think he doesn't know he's a libertarian, and I think you would help him figure that out, right?
He says he's liberal, but he's not.
Yeah,
he is in some stuff, and some stuff he isn't. It's funny because some people think he's too conservative, other people think he's too liberal.
It's
hilarious.
Which is why you think he falls in the
middle.
He's
not in a camp, and that's what I love. You know, I love people like that. It's like, let me take whatever you throw at me. Let me evaluate that, like case by case.
Yes, have your own ideas about each thing. You don't have to fall in the.
That's where I'm at.
You don't have to agree with, you know, oh, because I'm conservative, I have to agree with everything that concerns. No. You can be on. You can agree with some stuff.
You don't dictate what I fucking think.
No, he's like that for sure. And we're separated by like 1 degree by like 10, 15 different people.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's only a matter of time before that happens where we're at the same place. And
yeah. Right when that happens, we'll meet Kevin Bacon. Just because that's how it goes.
Yeah.
By MAPS Anabolic. If you're looking to maximize your overall muscle and strength, MAPS Anabolic is the perfect place to start. With a full 30-day money-back guarantee, there is absolutely zero risk. So what are you waiting for? Go to mindpromedia.com and get started today.
It's the motherfucking quad.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-qua.
First question is from Mom Spaghetti 88.
Yeah.
How do you know if you're experiencing inflammation? What does inflammation really look like?
You're puffy as fuck.
So inflammation,
it burns.
We're all experiencing it right now.
Always, right?
Yeah, it's a natural signaling system, to put it, I guess, plainly, of the human body. It inflammation tells your body when to repair, when to send nutrients. If you had no inflammation, your body would actually break down. In fact, if you see with people who inject, you know, corticosteroids into their joints, let's say they get a cortisone shot because they have a bad knee and they get too many of them, you start to see that knee start to break down. And oftentimes it leads to a knee replacement if there's too much use. Studies on non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen.
Yeah. Advil.
Yeah, show that if you use them too regularly, like they have studies with athletes, if they take them too regularly, that they'll, yes, they'll experience less pain, but over time, their joints actually start to degrade faster. and an athlete's
muscle ability, right?
Yeah,
to build muscle.
Yeah, and athletes who lift weights who take anti-inflammatory drugs reduce the muscle building signal, and so you see them get less strength gains and muscle gains from being on too many anti-inflammatories.
So that being said, you know, I had someone DM me the other day about Organifi's turmeric and asking like how exactly do we use it. So how do you recommend, since inflammation isn't always bad and there's obviously a positive side to it, where is it too much, and then where do you use a supplement like turmeric to help with inflammation?
Well, you have to first off ask yourself, well, too much inflammation looks like this, okay? And it can look like other things as well, but it can cause you to have to feel depressed. It can cause you to have low motivation, low energy. Of course, the obvious things like stiffness,
achy joints,
pain, gut issues, skin inflammation, to where you're looking at your skin and it's red at parts. It looks like it might be, you know, chafed or whatever. You know, those are the obvious signs of inflammation. Here's the thing. When you're having those types of signs of inflammation where it's too much, like, why am I just so stiff, or why are my joints hurting all the time, or why do I feel so down and depressed, or why do I feel puffy in my joints and under my skin? You have to ask yourself why. You know, just getting rid of the inflammation, it does get rid of some of the symptoms of the inflammation, but you have to ask yourself why. Like, why does my knee chronically hurt? If I take anti-inflammatories, it'll make the pain go away and the inflammation will go down. But whatever I was doing to cause that inflammation in the first place, I haven't changed it. So you have to figure that out. And in this case, it may be poor muscle recruitment patterns. Maybe I have something wrong with my joint. Maybe I'm just moving, you know, poorly. Maybe I'm overusing a muscle or a joint. There's a reason for that. So when it comes to substances or foods like turmeric or fish oil or foods that are considered anti or you know, low inflammatory type foods, what you're promoting is a healthy inflammatory response. That's it. Because you can also get too much inflammation from just having a poor diet. Like,
yeah,
if you don't have too many, if you don't have enough omega-3 fatty acids and you're all omega-6 and 9s, then you may have an inflammatory response in the body that's a little bit too strong. It's just not healthy. If you're not getting good sleep, here's a great way to make your inflammation go up: lose sleep. If you have shitty sleep, just one night, inflammation goes up. Do it 2-3 nights in a row, inflammation really starts to go up.
Now, do you, like someone like you, if you were to eat pasta, is that something that promotes inflammation in your body?
Yeah, it does. It's made with wheat, yeah.
So to that point, is there any value to adding like turmeric into the meal? Like sometimes, Everett used to do this when we used to live together, and I used to, I appreciate it. I loved that he used to cook with like the turmeric. So, and I remember I used to always have the capsules at the house, and he'd be cracking them open and be like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, I just add it into the sauce that I'm making with the pasta and bison that he would be making," because the pasta sometimes can be inflammatory. And so he'd put the turmeric in there. Can you validate that? I mean, does it kind of counter that or mitigate the inflammatory response?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. I know turmeric
obviously can't hurt.
No, it's a food. You know, God, some cultures put it in almost everything.
It's a herb, yeah.
It's got, you know, turmeric's interesting. In my personal experience with turmeric, so Organifi makes that turmeric that we get now for free, right? So I can use a whole bunch of it, or I'll use the gold juice. The gold juice has got lots of turmeric in it. And if I'm feeling like I'm a little too high inflammation, which for me feels like low mood or irritability, and my gut issues start to flare up a little bit, I will definitely increase my intake. And I'll go 8 capsules of turmeric, 10 capsules sometimes a day in divided doses, or I'll do, you know, I'll do that plus a scoop of gold juice at night. But that's a part of my whole protocol.
Yeah, I usually use it like, I mean, this is when I've evaluated my diet and like inflammatory foods and, you know, maybe lack of sleep. Like if I have that all kind of like figured out and dialed back, but then I'm still have this like chronic inflammation that's like just bothering. Like I get like stiffness or joint pain, like I'll have that. And then also evaluating what I'm doing in the gym, but I'll take some turmeric for that, just to try and help to kind of lower that inflammation response.
Yeah, sometimes the anti-inflammatory effect from certain things comes from the fact that it just makes you healthier. You know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily, although turmeric does have you know, curcumin in it, which does have some distinct anti-inflammatory effects, you know, in terms of the inflammatory system. A lot of the reason why people notice less inflammation when eating certain foods is because they're just healthier. So now they have a healthier, you know, inflammatory response. It's appropriate, I should say. So like an inappropriate inflammatory response would be like, I work out and my inflammation just goes through the roof. Mm. It's rampant. I feel feverish. I feel sick. It just doesn't feel good. A more you know, appropriate inflammatory response would be, I get a little sore, I feel a little tight, muscles rebuild, and you know, it's all good. So it's not about blocking inflammation as much as it's about having a healthy, natural, you know, inflammatory response. And this goes, here's another good point. Studies show that when people really try to hammer down inflammation post-workout, it actually reduces the muscle building effect as well.
Right. Well, no, that's the big debate even around like using like ice.
Like still, icing.
Yeah, exactly. Ice and cryo and things like that post-workout, because you want the body to go through its natural recovery versus you trying to kick it into hyper gear. Different in comparison to an athlete. Like depending, if you're somebody who's trying to build muscle and that's your primary goal, then the natural progression the body goes through with it being inflamed post-workout is totally natural and okay. The person who is an athlete who is trying to perform the next day doesn't care that much if they build an extra pound or two of muscle. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, the only time I really would ice is like double days where I'm just trashed from the first practice and I know I have to go back in a couple hours. Like I was like icing my joints. I was sitting in the ice bath just to like hope that I could recover so I could get like proper movement again in the next like practice.
Right. That's the key now. The key is to weigh them out. So what is more valuable to you? Is it I'm working out appropriately, trying to build muscle, or is it that I need to get more workouts in? I need more practice in. I need more technique drills. I need to train more. How can I utilize tools to allow my body to take more punishment? Mm-hmm. In which case, icing your body post workout makes perfect sense because you're tipping you're already over the line. Yeah. So it's like, how do I get more? Because when you're playing a sport.
Well, not only that, but your goal when you're playing basketball, football, soccer, any sport, you're not, you know, in the middle of the sport or the season or whatever. You're not trying to build a bunch of muscle. You care about performing,
right?
Yeah. And nobody goes, oh, you have 3 pounds more of muscle. Great. You're performing better. That's all that matters.
You're trying to continue to practice your skill, your skill. And if your recovery is getting in the way of that, you can't practice as much.
Right.
So that's when it makes sense. So as far as inflammation, you know, inflammation has become this kind of buzzword where it's like, kill inflammation at all costs.
Yeah, everybody needs to lower it. Like, that's the only thing you need to do.
No. Inflammation, an inflammatory response that's unhealthy, there's a reason why. So it's not just about lowering inflammation for the sake of lowering inflammation. It's figuring out what's causing that inflammation to be unhealthy in the first place and then addressing that. That's the key.
Next question is from Kyle Lussman. Which of the following routines is best for squats, deadlifts, etc.? Working up to your heavy weights or starting with your heaviest weight?
Mm. And there was, I think, more to this question where the question kind of is like, should you work up to your heaviest weight? Should you start with your heaviest weight? Or should you train with the same weight the whole time?
This is a cool question because... Mm. Up until I really understood priming my body, I kind of fell in the camp of, you know, whether I was doing 4 or 5 or 6, it doesn't matter how many sets I was doing for whatever said exercise, I would work up.
Yeah.
Like it would be
just
like
a pyramid, right, ramp it up.
The first 1 or 2 is like really getting the joints warmed up and the blood flowing and then getting the movement down. And then by sets 3 and 4, I'm starting to hit the heaviest I would. And I think a lot of people lift this way. A majority of people that I see lifting tend to do this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guarantee it.
But once I really understood how to prime correctly, I mean, now I get right into the weight I'm normally going to work with. Now, mind you, that's always give or take, you know, 5 to 20 pounds north or south, because some days you're in a groove, some days you're not in a groove, or you're feeling really good. So, you know, that doesn't mean the second set is probably where I'm right where I want to be. So, but I have an idea. Like I know about how much I'm bench pressing right now. I know what 5 reps is hard for me. I know what 10 reps is hard for me. And so I could prime myself, get right into it. And I, you know, after maybe the first set, I'm already with the working set the working weight for the next sets.
Well, if we negate the warm-up, okay, so if we forget the warm-up, which is either priming or warming up, however you warm up, and we're talking about work sets, there's value in both scaling your weight up, starting heavy and going lighter, pyramiding, which is where you go low to high to low. And then there's also value in just picking a weight and doing the same weight for all of your sets.
Right.
And the value is higher for whichever technique you're going to use if it's a technique you're not currently using.
Right.
Just like with anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the first time I learned this, I always pyramided because yep. that's what I read in the magazines. I would warm up. And then once I was warmed up, I'd start with whatever weight I started with, I would move it. I would go heavier and heavier, heavier. And then I go
all the way back down to the start.
Yeah. And I go lighter, lighter, lighter. Right. Yeah. And I did that because that's what all the muscle magazines said. Yeah. And then I read about, I don't remember what it was called. It was like, it was either German volume training or something like that. And they said that you should pick a weight, pick a number of reps and do that the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And which is kind of challenging, right? Like, okay, I'm going to pick a weight that I can do 15 times, but I'm just going to do 10, but do five sets. By the fifth set, it gets real hard. And I had great gains doing it. Now looking back, I know why. It's because I always train differently. So because I trained that way, it was new to my body.
Brought that up. That's exactly what I've been doing consistently is just picking that weight and knowing, you know, where I am with that weight and then just like doing multiple sets with that weight. So, but yeah, I was like the strip set, you know, thing where I'd start high and then I'd just like peel down, keep peeling it down until I, you know, would get to 100 something stupid reps that were just like irrelevant. You know, I used to do that protocol for a while. And so it's just, again, the stimulus is different. And so the intent, pyramiding versus like having a heavy, load that you consistently lift, it's a totally different process.
Yeah. I tend to now that I think about it, I fall into a category now more often than not, which is, this is actually kind of sparking my mind to think that maybe I should change it up. Cause what I currently do, and it just naturally happens, I don't even think about it, is once I'm warmed up, I tend to pick a weight. And then I do my sets with that same weight.
Yeah.
And what I think I'm going to do now is I'm going to start pyramiding a little bit where I'm, you know, messing around with, you know, working up to real heavy weight and then work down to a lighter weight just because it's different, you know, just because it's something that's different. Now, if you're phasing your workout, you don't necessarily need to do that because each phase is going to have you doing different reps anyway. So if you're phasing your workout, then, you know, you're doing 6 reps for 3 weeks. Then the next 3 weeks you're doing, you know, 8 to 10 reps or whatever. Then it's that's where I seem to see the best benefits for most people. But yeah, once you're warmed up, it really doesn't matter in the sense of you know, pyramiding or starting with the same weight and doing it. It's if it's different for you, you're probably going to get the best results. So whatever you're doing now, change it to something different. Stick to that for a little while and see how you feel.
Next question is from Ken Cubs. Any advice for moms worried about sagging tummy skin? Is there anything I can do to help, or is surgery my only option?
Now, this is tough, right? Especially if you're somebody who you already have the sagging skin, right? Like there's not a lot of things that we can do, especially in abs, right? Like arms,
build some muscle.
Yeah,
fill it out.
Yeah. Arms and areas like that, and legs definitely a little bit easier. But sagging skin in the stomach is a tougher one to deal with if you already have it. But that being said, there's a lot of things that I think that we can do to help prevent it. And now, always genetics play a role. You have some people have just incredible genetics. They can get pregnant with a kid and put on 75 plus pounds, lose all of it and not have any stretch marks and not have any saggy tummy. It's just, they've got incredible genetics, and that has a lot to do with just their elasticity and their skin. But there is things that I think that we can do is if you're somebody who's going into pregnancy, and this is something too that I know that, you know, Katrina has tried to, I think, done a really good job of managing the amount of weight gain that she puts on. I think that when women get pregnant, there's this old myth of you're eating for two. And so you when you're hungry, you eat and you eat tons. And it's kind of like how we talk about the amount of extra protein and calories you need to actually build muscle. It's not that much. You don't need to eat that many more calories when you're carrying a kid. And the less that you overdo it, the less likely you're going to have this situation, because what it is, it's the drastic drop. And we see this in people that gain a lot of body fat and then do like the Biggest Loser way of losing it, where they
have like gastric bypass.
Yeah, gastric bypass, and they're just losing 5 pounds a week. We wouldn't want to do that. That's why I used to tell clients, even my clients that were obese and they had 100-plus pounds that they needed to lose, I would tell them, like, and they'd be like, how fast can we do this? I'm like, you don't want to do this fast. If you, what we want to do it is slow and controlled. I would love to see the scale barely move. And when we lose 2 or 3 pounds of fat, we're starting to add a pound or two of muscle. And what's nice is it changes your body composition and the way you shape and you look, but it's easier on the skin. It's not like you're all of a sudden going from super big to super small in a short amount of time. It gives that skin some time to kind of tighten up naturally. And then also for you to fill that space in with by adding muscle. So that's some of the things that we can do to hopefully prevent it. But once you kind of have it, it's kind of tough to do much about it, especially in the tummy.
It is. The way I look at it is this: your skin is adapting to either quick growth. So you're having a baby, so you're pregnant, so the skin has to grow and expand, or it has to contract. The baby's born, tummy went down. Now the skin needs to go. And the way I look at it is the way I look at any adaptive process in the body. It's your body adapting to changing circumstances. And with all systems of adaptation in the body, the healthier you are, the better your body's going to adapt. Now, of course, genetics play a role in all of this. Like there's Mr. Olympia's genetic limits for muscle growth and adaptation are far superior to mine. But that doesn't mean that I can't maximize my own genetic ability to build muscle by being healthy and doing everything right. And so I think the healthier you are, the better your hormone profile is, good sleep, good nutrition, the more likely you are to have skin that adapts to either condition in a better way. That's my belief. Now, as far as after you have saggy skin, there's not much you can do. I do know that photobiomodulation or red light therapy seems to it's FDA approved to help with wrinkles, and the way it's thought to help with wrinkles is to improve with collagen and elastin production under the skin, which theoretically, okay, this is just theoretically here, should help with sagging skin as well. Now, Do I think you could put red light therapy on your sagging skin and it's going to disappear? No. Will it make it look a little better? I would bet that it would, because I know what it can do to wrinkles, right? Yeah. So I would bet that it would make it better, but I don't think it's going to be a miracle.
I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, there's a lot of products out there that are like trying to target this, especially like the stretch mark with creams.
It's a pain point. That's why. Right? I mean, yeah, it sells.
I mean, is there any creams that has any kind of value and does anything other than maybe like help with the discoloration?
Yeah, there's a couple FDA approved creams that seem to help with the appearance of stretch marks, but a lot of that's genetic. Like, did you guys get stretch marks from working out?
Oh, yeah.
I had
my chest and under my armpit.
Yeah, I had massive ones under my armpits.
Yeah, same here. I had them under my shoulders, under my arms. I had them around my thighs even.
Oh, my thighs, dude. Yeah, big time.
And so, I mean, God, if I had a baby, I'm sure I'd be covered in stretch marks.
Now, mine eventually went away, though. So they were massive. They were like this and probably that thick and really, really big. And it was because I remember it's because I was pushing the weight and gaining really fast. Fast.
There's a window where, I got a lot of growth.
Over years, though, that's gone away from me. Like you could still, like if you were to inspect it and I were to lift my arm and you could tell, tell so there. But as obvious as they were, they weren't. Yeah. So it's like mine. So you could still see.
It's like mine.
Yeah, you could still see it there, but it's nowhere near as bad as it was when I was really pushing the limits on putting size and weight.
It is crazy how some people just don't get them at all. I mean, my ex-wife had 2 kids, gained a lot of weight with both of them. She held a lot of water. She was tiny, and had zero. Didn't get any stretch marks. Neither did her mom. My mom, stretch marks with the kids, and I obviously get stretch marks from working out. So if I were a woman had kids, I'd get them as well. But I'll revert back to this: all systems of the body that deal with adaptation, skin tanning, whether or not you develop calluses, how fast you learn, how strong you get, how your stamina improves, all of your body's ways of adapting to things are better when you're healthy. So if you want to give your body the best chance to deal with stretching of the skin and then contracting of the skin, then you want to be as healthy as possible. And then just accept with whatever whatever comes with it. I mean, this is just for anybody. This is for all people's body image. You at some point you just accept that this is, you know, this is my body and I'm healthy and this is the way it is, because if you identify with your body too much, I could see that being a very difficult position to be in.
Well, and to your point of adaptation too, it's always advantageous. It's slower is better than faster. Because just like the suntan analogy you always give of going outside and just trying to bake in the sun to get tan, you're far better off less time over time than you would be of trying to burn your skin to get tan. The same thing goes for losing weight when you've put on a bunch of weight, whether it be from a pregnancy or just putting on extra body fat. You're always way better off by doing it slow and gradual and less likely to see some of those issues.
Mm-hmm. Next question is from Hooligan. How do you plan on evolving the podcast in the future?
We talk about this a lot.
Mm.
I think there's little things that we try and I think add right now, and we've talked about
live call-in. That was one thing that we talked about. All right.
We talked about live call-in. We've talked about just effects, like sound effects and things that Doug could create on the board. We've talked about one-off, like little short, you know, five, 10 minute episodes where Sal does like a study of the week or something. So
I don't know if it'll be 5 to 10 minutes. I don't know if I can talk for that little.
Yeah.
Like I was 30. Thinking 30 seconds. Yeah. Got to minimize you.
Yeah. So we've talked about evolving it like that. I mean, there's even been talk, you know, would we ever evolve ourselves out of it and somebody else? I don't know if we would do that. I think we all love doing this so much.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. I could see ourselves evolving out of other parts of our business, but just doing this. So I don't know. I like to think that we're constantly evolving. If anybody that's been listening to this podcast since the beginning,
it's all we've been doing.
Yeah. I like to think we sound a little bit different than what we did in the first year.
I'm really focused on just that we keep getting better with our interviews.
Right.
I would like to at some point be known like Howard Stern was, or Joe Rogan, or you know, some you know, Barbara Letterman. Walters or David Letterman, like some of the great interviewers of our time. I would love to at some point be known for, you know, for our interviewing skills, where, you know, if a celebrity, you know, a movie's going to come out and people want to know what they were doing for the workouts, like they have to get on Mind Pump so they could talk to us about it. I think our interview skills have gotten a lot better. But I think to get to that level, we'll have to continue to evolve, because those guys are just, I mean, Howard Stern was, his ability to get people to talk about crazy shit.
He was a master of
unmatched.
That.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely unmatched at what he did. Whether you like him or not, you have to admire, you know, how he's able to do that.
I would agree with that. I think instead of trying, and I think that's why we haven't done some of these things like the call-ins and adding another episode and doing all this other shit, is because I think we still want to continue to try and perfect our own craft.
Get better.
Yeah. So I think that to me is, that's more important. It's more important. I'm with you, Sal. Like, I want to be known as somebody who can do these interviews that, like, oh, I can't wait till Mind Pump interviews them, because they're going to get something out of them that nobody else will done. And, you know, I feel like there's been glimpses of that. I think we've definitely come a long way with our interviews, and the type of guests that we're getting and the quality of interviews that we're getting, I think, is evolving and changing. So
yeah, and I think these little concentrated episodes have been, you know, something like recent that have been working well. And I think too that we have put up some visual now on YouTube, where we are actually showing some bit of the podcast, which we didn't really want to do forever, because it's like three guys sitting down and talking, you know, check out this action, you know, where I think we're going to have ideas in that direction of like maybe spicing up some of the visuals around here and then at least having more of it live on YouTube. But, you know, other than that, I think it's refining the process for sure.
I think more important is not the evolution of our podcast, but is the evolution of podcasts in general. It's still a bit of a wild west. It's, you know, the barrier enter is very low. You have a lot of people starting podcasts every day, but at some point soon, relatively soon, podcasts will be the way people consume audio information. It'll be the way. Besides music, if anybody wants to listen to anybody talk about anything, it's going to be podcasts. It's not going to be any other way. And how's that going to evolve podcasts? Well, you're going to see big money and big talent being invested in this space, where You know, and we talked about this recently, like, would we have been able to gain any traction being as raw and as rough and inexperienced as we were when we first started? Would that work if we started today? I don't know. Definitely not in 5 years. You know what I mean? In 5 years, it's like, if you don't have like amazing sound, professional, you're talented, I don't know. I don't know how it's going
to
work.
I feel like it's already starting to get that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like every day I know somebody else who's starting a podcast, and just, it's tough to get traction. But it was tough for us too. You know, it was a long time before.
We were super naive.
Yeah.
We were super naive.
That was good.
Yeah, we had no, exactly. We had no idea. Like, yeah, it'll be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're good.
Your odds are one in a million. Nobody knows that.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm excited for the future of course, podcasts, because that's what we do, but of just all these new mediums, because they're so decentralized. I think they might start centralizing a little bit, though. It's starting to look like it, right?
It's already happening. Yeah. So, but you know what? They're having a hard time. I love it, because they're trying to get that off the ground and happen, but I don't know how great of traction they're getting. You know, they're trying to create these little networks where it costs you, you know, $4.99 or whatever like that a month, and then you have access to these.
You already let the toothpaste out.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't really see them being able to
put it back in.
Yeah, I just don't see. Yeah, thank you for finishing that.
You're welcome.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. Keep it simple.
Yeah. You forgot the rest?
No, that was it.
Okay.
No, you nailed it.
We finished each other's sentences.
Yeah. I mean, that's good enough.
Anyway, look, if you go to mindpumpfree.com, you can download our guides. They're all absolutely free. You can also find us all on Instagram. You can find Justin at mindpumpjustin. You can find yours truly at Mind Pump Sal, and you can find Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.